Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast with Brian and Blake, Mr. Tone Mob Podcast himself.
Hello, guys. I'm back.
How you been, man?
Really, really, really splendidly good. As a lot of people know, because I keep talking about it incessantly and posting pictures of it and whatever, I just got back from a trip from Tennessee that was quite marvelous, and I loved it, and I want to go back really bad.
I know you went to Memphis and Nashville, right?
That is correct, yes.
Was that your first time in Nashville?
I was in Nashville and Memphis both when I was like 11 with my parents, and I remember it, obviously, but I didn't really have an appreciation for what I was seeing. So this was a much different trip, obviously, but it was kind of funny, right? Like going through Graceland and kind of remembering what it was exactly the same as when I was a kid, which is kind of funny, but yeah, it was a good time.
So did you go down like the Broadway, which is like where all the bars are and stuff?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, definitely.
See, some great musicians on Broadway, man.
It was ridiculous.
It's so crazy. Like, I'm Indiana good, or at least I was, 10 years ago before I started messing with pedals and not playing guitar near as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I always thought I was good, but I was Indiana good. And then you go down playing Broadway and get schooled up one side and down the other, and you're like, whoa, yeah. Whatever you just did, like, my mind is blown. Just amazing, amazing players down there.
Yeah, right. And, like, they're, just like you talk about, like, everyone plays, and everyone's better than you are.
And what's crazy, because, over the years, I've gotten to know a lot of those guys that play on Broadway. And so, like, the drummer will be like, all right, the drummer's going to play guitar on this song and sing. And he's like, okay. And he's a freaking amazing guitar player and an amazing singer, you know? And he's like, hey, he's going to play steel guitar on this song and fiddle on the next one. And you're like, oh my gosh, man. This guy is just so talented. Like, all these guys are so talented.
It was crazy. So, I mean, we've seen a lot of, like, the small ones. Like, we went into, like, Tootsie's and watched some bands in there and, went into my parents went to Roberts and seen the guys there, the Don Kelly band. And, it was just like...
Hold on. You broke up a little bit. You saw who at Roberts?
Oh, I didn't. My parents went into Roberts. We kind of took turns because I took my son. And so, like, me and my wife would go do something, and then the next night my parents would go see somebody.
Gotcha.
And... they went and seen the Don Kelly band. My dad was like, they were just killing it, So,
yep. You just barely missed Daniel Donato.
I know. I would have been all over that if you would have been there.
Oh my gosh. That guy is freaking just, makes me want to throw away all my stuff. He's just amazing, amazing guitar player.
Yeah. He's playing with Wild Feathers now, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, that guy is great. He's a great, great player.
Yeah. Yep.
But, speaking of Tootsies, though, I actually have a funny story. So I was talking to my dad. My dad's a guitar player also, but primarily just like acoustic. Like, he is not a gearhead whatsoever, which sort of ties into our topic today. But and I was talking to him about this podcast and how I've been doing it, pretty regularly and really enjoying it. And he's like, well, that's great. So you're doing two shows. That's really cool. And he's like, I don't know anything about pedals though. So who's this Wampler guy? And I'm like, oh yeah, he's been around for a long time. He makes a lot of cool stuff. And he's like, at this point we hadn't been to any shows. And he was like, have you seen any of his stuff around here? And I was like, I haven't seen anything yet, but we haven't been to a show yet. And I'm pretty sure, we'll probably see something. If I do, I'll point it out. So we walk into Tootsie's, and, they got that little tiny stage on the right. And I'm like, oh, hey, Dad. He's like, what? The lead guitar player had a small pedal board. He had, like, six pedals, and it was, like five of them were Wamplers. I was like, they're all those right there. Those are his. He's like, oh, okay. I think I've seen that before, which is a lot, saying a lot, because he doesn't know pedals at all. So it was just kind of a funny antidote. I was like, I bet we'll see somebody, and like the first guitar player that we see is like, oh yeah, there you go. There's some of them.
You know, I always, it's always fun for me, like to, like if I'm out, especially if I'm out of town or something, you know, where I don't know anyone, go into a bar or a club. And just to see what the guitar player is using, and if he's using one of my stuff, I'll point to it and go, "That's mine!"
Right.
And he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "I made that pedal." He's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "I'm Brian Wolfler." He's like, "This is weird." And I'm like, "I like to listen to bands too."
Right. I make pedals and listen to them.
Right.
Yeah. So it was kind of a funny, like, side thing. It was like, oh yeah, and it was great. Like, you can just go in there, like, you don't even have to, like, you know, this is kind of a side note, but you don't have to even, like, most of those places during the day, they still have amazing bands and they don't even have a cover charge or anything.
It's all day long. So in Nashville, you know, you may go in, I don't know what the earliest one is, probably like 10 or something like that.
I think Roberts opens at 10:30.
Yeah, so you have, you know, you, it's normal to have like a 10 o'clock gig there, you know. Mm-hmm. In a bar, you know, and it being that it's like a very touristy location, I mean, there's still people there, you know?
Right. Yeah. So. It was cool. Cause like I got to take my son in there and, you know, we're just hanging out, like just sitting there chilling, listening to music. And he's just amazed by the drummers. He's really little. So he just was watching the guys go and was like, wow.
I'm
like,
oh, you need to fix that. Don't let him be one of those guys.
I know.
Don't
let him do that. I know. Of course, I could use a drummer in the house to keep me on time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you guys could form a band and, you know, be the next Jonas Brothers or whatever. Jonas family.
Get the wife on bass. I tried that once. That didn't work. She said she wanted to play bass, and I bought her one for Christmas, and it just sat there. So.
Well, it might be the wrong type of music. If you play like old 80s rock, then basically like winger type stuff, then it's like one note. You're like, yeah, just hold that note. Just play that note. Dun, 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 dun. The whole time. That's all you got to do. Just stand there, you know, move around, bob your head a little bit, and just play that note. I'll play around it.
I'll make the song. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man.
Good times. So, but yeah, I could go on about it, but there was a lot of cool stuff. I highly suggest it for anybody that likes music. You can just go down there and check it out. It was awesome.
It is a lot of fun. And in fact, you were at, not Roberts, but you sent me a picture. What is that place called?
The acoustic the Bluebird? Place.
Bluebird, yes. And you're like, that's Michael Rhodes. And I'm like, yeah, these guys play all the time, man. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just on, like, and for anyone who doesn't know, Michael Rhodes, the bass player that's basically played on everything that was ever on the radio for like the past 20 years or something, right? You know, played for just a ton of different people too. Just like, monster in the bass world.
Now, he was killing it too, of course. I mean, that was great.
Yeah, he's an amazing player and a super cool guy too.
I talked to him briefly after the show, and he was like, oh yeah, cool. I'm like, Brian told me I should say hi to you. And he's like, oh yeah, he makes cool pedals. I'm like, he sure does. And my wife's like, what are you talking about right now? Why are you talking to him? Like, we need to go home.
You're like, I notice you like pedals. I like pedals too. We have so much in common. We should hang out sometime.
We're like, that's right.
We're totally best friends now.
Yeah. Which was funny because it was a blue.
Did we just become best friends? Yes, we did.
He's like, who's this kid? I'm just trying to have a cigarette. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
So but it was good times.
So I was talking to you today, and Alex Clay is writing a blog post. If it's not done yet by the time this comes out, I'm not sure. And I'll have a video out talking about it a little bit too. But it is based around the central theme of this particular podcast, I think, is how would you phrase it? I was going to say, like, there's three basic types of guitar players out in the world. But how would you... Is that how you would phrase it, you think?
That's pretty much it, yeah. That's what I would summarize it as. The three types, the three, you know, I don't know, categories of guitar players or something.
Or maybe like the three types of guitar players who buy guitar gear or who use effects pedals, you know?
That could be. Or I think they apply across the board, though. I think we should just say categories.
Okay, there we go. So three types of guitar players. So, I may totally mess this up. So you may have like, no. Okay, so you have like, in my opinion, you have like the guy who's just like, I've been using this pedal for the past 20 years and I don't care. This is what I'm going to use. It's good enough. It's fine. I don't want to look for anything else. You know what I mean? Like he's fine where he's at and moving on with life now.
Right.
And then you have the guys like, Prince, for example, is what I use as an example, for the video. But, Tom Morello is another guy. People that don't buy every new thing that comes out, they basically have the stuff that they've used and they pretty much just use it for a period of time. And it's their tool. Mm-hmm. It's their tool. They're not like looking for the newest thing to give them a new sound. You know, it's just like, nope, here's my set of tools. And now I'm going to work and doing what I do, you know?
Yep.
And then you have the guys like us who are like, ooh, I like the way that sounds. I bet that was sound killer. I love what I have now, but maybe I'll like that just a tenth of a percent better. You know, like I have to try it. I've got to buy it. I've got
to
get it.
Right. It's sometimes because I think I have really solid setup now, like almost no matter what, like I can go into the room and pick out, you know, almost like, If it was all on a dartboard, I could just close my eyes and throw darts at it, and I would probably come up with a pretty good rig out of the stuff I have. But it never stops the desire. Like, it may not be better, but it's different. I want to see what this other thing could do in, you know, sometimes in conjunction with or sometimes by itself, but it's like, ooh, I can, you know, adding a new color to the palette, basically. That's kind of how I look at it.
So it's like, I've got red, but I don't have this shade of red.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And who knows, with this shade of red might just paint the picture perfectly for this song or this album or this whatever. I think that's where my mind goes.
So do you think that that's a fairly accurate picture of the guitar culture, the typical guitar player, three types?
We didn't nail on the last type, though. The last type was the guy who just doesn't care. That was the third type. He's just like, whatever, just give me a guitar, I'm gonna play it, type of thing.
Well, I think and I kind of rolled that into the first one, to the guy that's like, here's, you know, I've been playing this Tube Screamer for the past 30 years. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I have no desire to look for anything else. I'm not gonna buy anything else. You know, I've got my, you know, Les Paul or whatever and my deluxe reverb, and this is the life I've chose.
Right. Well, it's, I mean, there's other guys though. There's guys that straight up, they just want to play guitar and they don't care if they're plugged into a Line 6. You know, I've ran into those guys too, and that are actually good guitar players. They're just like, yeah, that's fine. Makes sound.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Like there's guys that just are like, they don't care what it is, just give me a guitar to play.
But that still doesn't make sense. It's like you're speaking a foreign language.
I know. You don't care as long as it's a Telecaster. But
no, I mean that was, I'll be honest, that was true for a long period of time. But like if you're watching our YouTube channel, I know you don't, but I mean if others are watching our YouTube channel, they'll notice that like, what in the world? Brian's using a Les Paul?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I think we touched on that in like the first episode where I came on, because it was like I had to grill you about that because I was like, hey, what's the deal? That's not a Smellicaster. What's going on here?
Smellicaster. Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, I still love Telecasters. Don't get me wrong, but I think, how do I put this without like messing with people in a way. So I've been using Telecasters for a long time. I want to, I don't know.
You're looking for different colors.
I am, but being as the guy that's like designing pedals for everyone in the world to use, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to approach it a little differently for 2017.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You want to, I don't know, but you always try to make it sound good with everything. So that's not really an accurate thing.
I do, but it's like I can't, I'm struggling to come up with a good analogy. Instead of being like the telly player who's making sure it works with a Strat, I want to be and it's not that I want to be a Les Paul player, but I'm just using that as an example. I want to make sure that I can be the Les Paul guy that makes sure it's good with a telly as well. Does that make sense?
You don't want to be known as the telly guy, essentially. You're trying to break out of that mold a little bit, is what you're getting at, I think.
I want to be more versatile, really. I want to view life through different lenses. I guess that's the best way to put it. I'm going to view life through the different lenses so I can create better things.
There you go. I see.
Does that make any sort of sense? Maybe it's the wrong way to go about it, but it's for me personally, that's what feels right. So it's like, okay, I'm going to start listening to all different types of music, you know, all different kinds of things. And I'm really going to just approach this from a different angle in order to not come out with Plextortion 3.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you think about this, I've been doing this since 2004, 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a long time of making overdrives and distortions, dude.
That's true. It's time to start spreading your wings.
Yeah. And not that we don't, I mean, we have other stuff. But I mean, the stuff that I have planned for, and I really can't go into depth with it, but the stuff that I have planned for the next year and a half, it is so... Well, one, I'm like getting giddy and excited just thinking about it. But it's so outside of what people are going to expect from us.
I know. And you keep saying that. And I go, what is it, Brian? You're like, I'm not telling you, Blake. I'm just going to keep digging this into your brain and drive you insane.
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm probably not going to – I'll let a little slip out here. I'm probably not going to do a whole lot – I'm not going to do many more amp in the box type stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to stop doing distortions and overdrives, but I want to approach it from the mindset, a different mindset. I've done the Marshall stuff. I've done the Vox stuff. I've done the Fendery stuff. I've done blah, 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 Orange stuff. I want to approach it a little bit different for the next few years, you know?
Well, and that was where my brain was just going. I was thinking there's not many more amps out there for you to model. I mean, as far as classic styles.
Well, I haven't done the Gorilla in a box. There's always the little Gorilla amp in the box.
You haven't done the Gorilla? You haven't done the Line 6 Insane Channel in a box?
The Insane Channel. What? I totally missed that one. That's my goal tonight.
Yeah.
Is to make that in a box. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do the Line 6 Insane Channel in a box. That's your goal for 2016, to release that. The market will go crazy. They will go crazy for it.
Not in a positive way, but they will go crazy.
Do I smell next year's April Fool's video?
Oh, you're giving me ideas. You're giving me ideas.
So before I forget, I got to play a Whitfill down there at Carter's Vintage in Nashville. I actually played two of them, and it was...
It's undescribably like how good they are. You know what I mean? I mean, like you've played a million mm-hmm. guitars. I played a million guitars. These, I don't know what it is about them, but it's just like Charles Whitfield, like the love that he pours into each one when he makes them. It's just like apparent because you pick it up and you're like, this is the most perfect Telecaster I've ever played. It's just amazing.
Right. Know? It was fantastic. It was, I kind of tried to, like, I gave one to my dad to play too. I didn't give it to him. You know what I mean? I handed one to him to play because we were down there browsing around stores while the ladies were
right.
shopping or something. We were like, well, we're going to do some shopping.
And then they
own.
Took the credit card
and,
away from
me. Pretty much. Anyway. I was trying to like describe it to him. I was like, this thing feels like it's not the same, but as far as like quality and just like good vibes that come from it, if that makes any sense. It feels like my junior, my Les Paul junior that I have. It was just kind of that same thing. Like, it didn't feel like a Les Paul junior because it's a Telecaster, but I got the same vibes off of it, you know? So, you know, that's a 55.
It's like
so
this tree, this guitar came from, it's seen some life, man. It's seen some stuff, you know?
That's right. Things and stuff, man. It's the, oh boy. So,
and, you know, the cool thing about those is he winds his own, well, he has someone that works for him that winds the pickups. Like he's doing all this stuff himself. They're not just parts. I've said this a million times. You know, it's a guy that's just a craftsman doing what he loves to do, you know, and it shows.
Yeah. I was really impressed. And then, you know what? I mean, knowing that that's the level of work that went into them, they weren't that expensive. I mean, they're not cheap, but they're, you know, better than a custom shop.
Well, the thing
vendor,
is, they're right in line with the prices of people who buy parts guitars, assemble them with a cool paint job, and sell them. You know,
exactly.
And he's like literally like he's got his saws and he's got his planers and he's making the stuff. He's not buying the parts. You know, he's not buying a Seymour Duncan's or whatever. You know, he's doing all that stuff himself. He's making his own tuners out of. I'm teasing. He's not doing that, but.
Oh, I was gonna say, whoa!
he's got a metal foundry and he's making his own bridges. No, he's not doing that. He's not going that far, but you know, and he loves doing the finished stuff too. I mean, he's just an artisan, you know, and I love supporting people like that, and especially if their product's good. I'm trying to think how many Whitfields I have now, 3 or 4. And then one got stolen.
What?
I had one coming that was going to be like kind of Les Paul-y for me, you know, and then Charles had a trailer broke into, he's doing a show or something, and someone broke into the trailer at the hotel, I think, and stole a bunch of his stuff.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I lost my guitar, dude.
I don't like that. That hurts my heart.
It definitely feels like someone punching in the gut, you know, but. You know, it wasn't meant to be. Maybe the next one he does for me is going to be even better. And maybe that's life's purpose for that, you know?
It could be. And I hope that guy, we won't go there. I hope some bad stuff happened. That's all. We'll leave it at that.
I hope he's forced to play bad Luke Bryan songs at some club somewhere.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, Brian. How dare you?
Yeah, no, I'm just teasing. I'm sure I just lost half of my customer base too. It's like, dude, I play for Luke Bryan. That's not cool.
I wish that man spends all eternity playing "Shake It For Me, Girl" on repeat.
Or the International Harvester guy. Who's that? Craig Morgan. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. That's a terrible one too. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I'm a dangerous person for you to have on your show because you have such a country base, and I'm hearing this country is terrible. What is going on here?
I don't think we have as much of a country base as we used to. I mean, we definitely do have a lot of players in the national market, but we're expanding a lot. I mean, for example, like I was telling you today, I finally got a conversation with I'm getting gear to one of my childhood guitar heroes. And I had 3 major goals whenever I started in pedals. One was to get stuff with Brent Mason, have him use my stuff.
There you go.
The second one was Brad Paisley and have him use my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not chronological order. This is just these 3 people I wanted to work with. You know, that was my goals. Mm-hmm. And the third person that I just, you know, that was my big goal was George Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dokken, Lynch Mob, KXN. I mean, and it's just because that's the stuff I grew up on.
Right.
You know? And, so I talked to him on the phone. I bet I talked to him for like 30 or 40 minutes. And just probably one of the coolest people. I'm just astonished when, like, you talk to or meet your guitar hero, and they're like, they're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's so... It feels like such a milestone for me. I'm like, yes. In fact, I sent a text to all the team today. And I'm like, guys, I've accomplished my 3rd goal. we're going out of business. I quit.
Boys, I've reached the top.
So
it was nice knowing you. You're all unemployed.
but what are you going to do for a living? I don't care. I've talked to George Lynch now. It's done.
I'm going to be part of George Lynch's entourage.
So, no, I mean, it was, and talking to him, like, how in the world did you find my stuff? And it's because we're becoming more part of the LA scene, you know? And, you know, so it's spreading directions a little bit, which is cool, you know?
Very cool. So very cool. And I think that, you know, that's good to, if you're spreading directions with your, I guess, genres or scenes, it's a good thing, like what you were talking about before, to start, you know, coming out with new products, maybe things to fit into those particular scenes and genres a little better. So. Yeah,
and I mean, we've been doing Guitar Pedals forever. There's a lot of other things I've been working on. I mean, if anyone's been following my Snapchat, they've probably seen my guitar amplifier stuff I've put on there here and there, and on the YouTube I've done some sound stuff with amplifiers, but that's because I've been digging into a lot of amplifier stuff lately, and even other things too, which I won't go into. But I'm pretty excited.
Well, the amplifiers, it's not your total first rodeo with amplifiers. You had that that Coyote, I believe. Wasn't that what it was called?
Also called, make sure that there's not an amp called the Coyote before you come out with an amp called the Coyote. Yeah.
I see. That's always an unfortunate situation. I mean,
the good thing about that is we only built a handful of them, you know, and it was just kind of for fun, you know, just let's build a few of these because people were asking for amps. Let's build a few of these and just for fun, have fun with it. And once they're done, they're done. But now, like, I'm really contemplating hitting that hard too, and seeing what happens. Been thinking about it.
Well, yeah, we've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and people been, you know, people been saying it for a long time. Like, I wonder if you did a Wampler amp, I'd be interested. You know, of course, people say things and they don't follow up. But I think enough people have said it that there's a good chance you'd have a smash hit on your hands, son.
We'll see. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, like, all I really want to do is provide people the tools that they use to affect the world. And I know that sounds really cheesy, but that's really how I look at it. It's like, I don't know, like, we provide the paints for, like, Picasso, you know? Mm-hmm. And without those paints, there would be no Picasso. He'd be, like, using crayons or something.
Right.
Because those were totally around back then.
Oh, yeah. Picasso, he busted out the Crayolas, and he got nuts, man. He got nuts. He drew those sideways faces and whatever else he did, you know? Yeah, you've kind of talked about that before, and I kind of, I do understand and relate to it where, you know, some people go, well, that's not important. I'm like, well, it kind of is because, I mean, think of how many songs have changed your perception on something or how you felt at the time. And sometimes those songs wouldn't have existed if the particular tool hadn't been on hand to inspire that particular, magician. It's all about putting all the puzzle pieces in the right place at the right time. So to say that, you know, gear isn't really important, well, it inspires people to do important things sometimes. So it therefore kind of is important.
I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, the guy buying a new piece of gear and then he writes a riff that he wouldn't have wrote with what he was using before. Not that what he bought is necessarily better or anything. It's just different. And so he played something a little different. You know what I mean? And it changes the creative path sometimes whenever you play something that's new and feels different and sounds different, you know?
Oh, totally. Totally. And it kind of goes back to what we were saying before where you're mixing up guitars, because I still haven't pulled the trigger or done anything, but I've wanted a Jazzmaster for a really long time. And I finally kind of come around to the fact that I just want a vintage one. I've talked about it before on my show. I think I've talked about it here, but for a while I was looking at going the custom built route and having somebody build me one exactly the way I want. And I started getting, you know, like that paralysis by analysis situation. And I thought, well, what's my favorite feeling neck that I own? Well, it's my Les Paul Jr. Okay, well, have them make a similar neck to the Les Paul Jr. And then it'll be, I'll make it a Gibson scale, but it'll be look like a Jazzmath. And then I was talking to my buddy about it. He's like, no, you're doing this all wrong. Why would you make, if you want a Jazzmaster, get a Jazzmaster. Don't make a Les Paul Jr. that looks like a Jazzmaster, because you'll play it the same way as a junior and you won't have that extra tool to play differently. And I was like,
Which is what I was doing with Stratocasters for a long time. We talked about that last year on the podcast that, you know, with Travis, Travis was a big fan of and still is a big fan of Stratocasters. And I was always trying to get them to sound like Telecasters, you know? And once I don't sound stupid. I probably sound so stupid, but really once I kind of realized that and thought, I need to play this like it's a Strat. Then I actually started liking Strats. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with like a Les Paul. I mean, I've always liked the sound of Les Pauls, but for me, it just didn't work well with the stuff I was playing. And so now, you know, now I'm trying to play a variety of different things, all kinds of different things, you know? So.
Yeah. For sure. And now I feel better about like telling my wife, hey, no, this really is different this time. Well, why do you need that? Why do you need that one? Well, it's completely different than anything
you
that
just
I
say,
own.
Why do you need more than one pair of shoes?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
You got two right there. Yeah, but those are, you know, my flip-flops or whatever. Doesn't matter. They're still shoes. You only need one pair.
They're still shoes. I don't care if it's snowing outside. Yeah. There's still, you can walk in it. It's fine.
By the way, I've tried that. Let me know if that works for you. Never has worked for me.
No, it doesn't work. It does not work. But you know how it goes. It's, I don't know. It. You know what? It just kind of dawned on me. We never did elaborate on those three different types of guitar players. We went elsewhere.
All right, so we're 30 minutes in. Let's dive right back into that topic here.
At least we kept it mostly guitar related. That's
true.
Solid.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's both get back into it and then wrap it up in talking about the different types of guitar players that exist who use effect pedals.
Okay. Well, we've already identified who we are. We're obviously number two.
Yes.
We're the chasers.
Yes.
You always are trying to find that next thing.
Right.
And I think that is becoming more and more common. Very rarely do I talk to anyone who is – I've talked to many people who were the – this is good enough, and I don't need anything else, who become the tone chasers later. I've never heard anybody go back to being like, you know what, I've been chasing the dragon for years, but here's my setup. I've never heard anybody
go back.
I've
heard people talk about going back, but I don't know if I've ever actually seen someone follow through with it.
Right. I've seen it go the other way. You know, I've seen it go... You know, the satisfied man becomes the chaser, but I've never seen the chaser truly go back to being satisfied. And I don't know what that is in guitar players or humans in general. Could be a bigger topic on humanity as a whole.
It could be.
I don't know.
I know, like, not to drop this name again, but, you know, in talking to George Lynch today, Mr. Lynch is like...
Excuse me, who?
I like to call him Mr. Lynch. Yeah.
George Lynch.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lynch. And talking to him, like, I never realized how big of a gear nut he is. He loves gear. Like, he was telling me how, he's like, I just got this pedal board done, you know, redone completely. It was set like it was for 3 days, and I tore it apart and bought new stuff. I'm like, I'm going to try this. He's like, this is sickness, man. It drives me crazy because in some weird way, I just want to be done with it and, like, be happy and, like, okay, this is it. This is the way it's staying. He's like, but it's just never going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You know?
And how long has he been playing? He's been playing for longer than I've been alive. Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, and if he's not done, then that leads me to believe. Once you start down the rabbit hole, I just don't think – I think the gate closes. Like, you walk through it, and then it closes and latches behind you, and there's no going back.
Right.
That's just my two cents.
And it might be something like – I just got this thought. It might be something like the guy who's using Photoshop for a living, right? And he's doing his artistic design, you know, all that stuff. And a new version of Photoshop comes out, and, you know, it's getting good reviews. And he's like, you know what? I can use this. I can make my stuff better. I can improve my workflow or whatever, you know. And so he upgrades to the newest version. Versus the guy is like, I've used this for the past 10 years. I'm not going to update anything, you know. And maybe it's just I think it's just a different type of looking at things.
Right.
You know, I don't know. At the end of the day, there's worse habits to have, you know. I mean, some people go bowling. Some people play golf. I like to look for new gear to buy.
Some people do hard drugs.
Some people do methamphetamine, whatever floats your boat. I just buy guitar pedals.
Right, right. Which is, you know, more expensive, but better for your skin. So it's okay.
That's what I hear. Yes.
I seen a scary looking thing yesterday. Have you ever heard of Busted Magazine?
No.
I don't know if it's just a Northwest thing. It might be, because I've never seen it anywhere else. But we here in my neck of the woods, we have what's called Busted Magazine. And what it is a magazine that comes out, I think, weekly. And the whole magazine is just mugshots. Like, for who got busted this week.
Yeah, never seen that. But to be really fair, my time is limited. So if I did stumble across that, I would click off because I'm like, not important. And doesn't relate to gear.
Oh, no, it's I don't know if it's online, but it's at, like, supermarkets. Like, you see it while you're waiting in line type of thing.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, an online magazine. Yeah.
No.
Definitely never seen that one.
It's like a...
Nope. For us, it's Country Weekly. Get the Country Weekly on there with, you know, Luke Bryan and his new tight pants. You know?
No.
No, seriously, that's what people were into. It's like, what's the newest country stars and what the clothes they're wearing and, you know, all the gossip around it and all that crap. That's what's in our supermarkets here in Martinsville, Indiana, which is a nice little small Mayberry-like community.
Mayberry-like?
Very much like Mayberry. Yeah. Very much.
Probably not a lot of pedal competition in that town.
There is none. In fact, most of the people that live in this town that know we exist are like, you do what now? Oh, so you mean you take a guitar and you plug it in and you put it into something that doesn't even make any sense, you know? And like, you'd have to understand, like, and they're like, well, what kind of, like, seriously, these are questions. So what do you mean it makes a different sound? And the easiest way to say is like, well, you know, like it makes echoes and stuff. Because they understand echoes. But if you're like, well, right. One sound goes when you play it. And the other sound goes. I mean, they're like, look at you like you're crazy. So you have to like, well, it's like you plug it into a pedal and it makes echoes, you know. Mm-hmm. And so like those echoes, we do that kind of stuff. So
right.
You have to really like simplify it. As much as you can.
I do understand that because I've had to explain pedals to people who've never heard of a pedal before. You know, they're like, what is it? I don't even know how to work all that stuff. Well, you just, you know, if you plug it in, it makes a different sound. What do you mean it makes a different sound? Well, here we go.
Right.
It affects the signal. No, this is getting too advanced. I'll try the echo route next time. Because
here's what I like to do. Well, let's say you have a high impedance guitar signal, right? So what you need to do now that doesn't work. Don't do that.
Do you explain the different clipping options to them and how it affects the tone?
So your guitar signal is basically an AC voltage, right? But you're going to go through a device that uses DC voltage to convert it to something else, right? So
right. But what do you mean it changes the sound? It's a guitar. It sounds like a guitar. And when I was listening to that new Florida Georgia Line song, it sounded like a guitar. So what are you talking?
That's the thing. I don't know. Here in Mayberry, Indiana, it's not all across the board. I mean, there are some kids. I have a bunch of kids, obviously. I have 5 kids. But in school, there's a few of them. They're like, wow, your dad like is the Wampler pedals guy? You know, but it's few and far between. For the most part, they're like, he does something with guitars, and I don't even have an idea. You know what I mean? Like, their dad does something with guitar pedals. All I know is he works with Brad Paisley, you know?
Right.
that's usually how that conversation goes. So
that's a not a bad, you know, my dad does work with Brad Paisley. That sounds pretty good.
It does if you're a teenager, you know. If you're a grown-up, you're like, and so was like Brad like give him like lumps of cash or something or what? What I mean,
well, that's what happens, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm just like, hey, Brad, like I'm low on a couple million this month. You know, maybe throw a few my way. No, it doesn't happen that way. Nope.
He doesn't like show up at your house with a wheelbarrow full of Benjamins that he just unloads.
He says, I got too many this month. You can have this. No. Nope. Doesn't work that way.
Oh, shoot. Well, you know, this whole time of doing this podcast, the whole goal was I was going to try to figure out how to intercept one of those cash shipments. But I guess now that dream's out the window.
I've totally just ruined your evening. You're like, crap, my whole goal is ruined.
I know. I was telling my wife, I'm like, listen, I'm getting real close. I can smell it. I think Brad's about to make another drop off, and I'm going to sneak in there and I'm going to grab a couple handfuls before he knows it's there. Because there's so much of it floating around that he won't even notice it's gone.
I'm sure it's just in the mailbox. It's probably just stuffed in the mailbox. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so realistically, I have about 6 minutes left of battery on this mug. So,
oh.
So let's, do you have anything else to add to the different guitar players?
The different guitar players, which we never really did complete that thought, but that's okay. I think people understand what we meant by just bringing that up. And, you know, they probably know which category they fall into, and most likely, if you're listening to the Chasing Tone podcast.
If they're listening to this podcast, they're like you and me, you know?
Yeah.
Because if they're not, they're like listening to whatever else, you know, anything but this.
Right. And I would like to pose this challenge to everyone who's listening real quick, since we're talking about it. If you know somebody who is in category A, the I'm satisfied category, please do your best to drag them down with you.
Hold on. say it one more time. If you're, okay, you broke up. If you're in the you're in category A, do what?
If you're in category A, or excuse me, if you're in category B, the tone chaser, and you have friends in category A, the item satisfied camp, what Brian and I would like you to do is to take them by the hand and lead them down the rabbit hole with you. And because the more tone chasers there are, the happier we are.
You want them to swallow the blue pill, right?
Exactly. And we will show them just how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Yeah, exactly. And now that's a perfect place to end for the week. So everybody out there, I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any questions, email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Hit up Blake on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. Just look for the Tone Mob. And or you can hit us on Wampler Pedals Tone Group on Facebook or Wampler Pedals on Instagram. Brian Wampler on Snapchat if you're a snapper. And we'll see you all next week. Talk to you later, man.
Later, Hosen.